Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcast, Circle Craft Studies and Nature Folk. In tonight's encore from July 17, 2018, Selena discussed some Wicca approaches to honoring, invoking, and working with goddesses, gods, ancestors, elementals, power animals, plant spirits, fairy folk, virtues, and other sacred forms.
Welcome to Nature Folk. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we continue our exploration of Wicca journeys by focusing on divine ones. Divine ones, we call to you. Divine ones, we honor you. Divine ones, we invite you to be with us, to be in us, to guide us, to teach us, to bless us. Divine ones, we thank you. At the heart, at the core of any religion is the concept of encounters with the sacred, with the divine. Wicca, as a religion, combines some old sacred ways of attuning and working with the divine with new ones. Wicca is nature religion. Nature with a capital N. Nature itself is considered sacred. It is not only nature as a great unity, interconnected, ever-present, ever-changing, but it's also a multiplicity. In nature, reproduction commonly includes the union of female and male. And from this observation and principle, the idea of divine mother and divine father has come into being. Most Wicca traditions honor the divine as mother and father, in contrast with some religions that are father-focused solely. The divine mother is known by many names. Sometimes is called goddess. Sometimes is called All Goddess or Great Goddess or Great Mother. In Wicca, the goddess is also known as the Lady. The Divine Father also has some different versions of the name. As the goddess is called the Lady, the god is called the Lord. As the Divine Mother can be called Great Mother, the Divine Father can be called Great Father. The Father might be called All Father or All God or the Great God or the Horn God. There's variations with God forms and goddess forms. Indeed, in addition to goddess and god within Wicca in many of its permutations, there can be a multitude of goddesses and gods. And part of the divine patterning is the union of goddess and god, something that may be referred to as great unity, divine oneness, great mystery, great spirit. It's the unity of these sacred forms. In some Wicca traditions, goddess and god are invoked, and their connection, their unity, may be invoked, or it may be considered just a given and not specifically invoked. In some Wicca traditions that really focus on oneness more than multiplicity, that divine unity may be more of a primary focus. Some traditions have a whole pantheon of gods and goddesses that are the divine ones. Typically, when there is a pantheon structure for the divine ones, the pantheon has goddesses with different attributes and areas of life and being, and gods with different attributes and areas of being. There may also be additional sacred forms that go beyond deities as part of a pantheon structure. Looking at Wicca and its diversity, as well as paganism as a whole, in addition to female goddess forms and male god forms, there are divinities that are both. They could be called hermaphroditic, goddess and god combined, male and female combined. And there are divinities in some traditions that are what some would call gender fluid, that are non-binary gender. They can transform and transmute and take a number of different forms. And still other forms of Wicca, especially those that are really looking at the divine as something that is all-encompassing, that is an interconnecting source and force. Gender may not be part of the mix at all in connecting with that form of the divine. In Wicca paths, in addition to deities, there are other types of divine ones. Nature is seen as a system not only here on planet Earth, but within our solar system, our galaxy, within the whole cosmos. So some who practice Wicca and honor nature actually see nature as a kind of ultimate divinity through which there is a oneness of interconnectedness as well as a multiplicity of different forms, forces, ways of being. In many Wicca paths, the sacred sun is honored as a divine one. Indeed, the cycles of the seasons and the cycles of the sun combine to give us the eight Sabbaths, the solstices and equinoxes, and the midpoints between, known as the Celtic fire festivals. It depends on the Wicca and pagan tradition as to whether the sacred sun is aligned with a goddess form or a god form. In Baltic pagan traditions, the sun is the divine feminine. Brigid, a Celtic goddess, is linked with the sun as an example of a sun goddess. Many Wicca paths, though, have the sun linked with forms of divine masculine, sun gods. Particular Wicca traditions that are based on a Roman pantheon where the god is Sol, or a Greek pantheon where Apollo is a solar divinity, or Helios. In addition to the sun, the moon is honored as a divine one. Many Wicca paths have the moon linked with goddess. In fact, the idea of the triple goddess, maiden, mother, and crone, relates to the three main visible phases of the moon, the waxing moon, the maiden, the full moon, the mother, the waning moon, the crone. And for Wicca systems that also attune to the dark moon, that is the fourth face of the moon, the deep mystery. Some traditions will have the moon linked solely with the goddess. Some traditions see the moon as a form of God. And in some traditions, sun and moon may have both goddess and God components and sacred names, or may go beyond gender altogether. And of course, planet Earth, our home, is considered a divine being, the biosphere as it may be known. In 1979, a physicist by the name of James Lovelock talked about the interconnected dimensions of life on planet Earth as one great biosystem, and called that hypothesis the Gaia hypothesis, after the ancient Greek goddess name for the Earth, Gaia. Here again, planet Earth, Earth as a sacred form. Often it's Mother Earth and linked with a goddess, but it can be Father Earth, and it can be Earth Spirit beyond gender. In addition to those dimensions of nature as being part of divine ones, across many Wicca paths, there is the honoring of the divine in all things, within plants, trees and herbs and flowers and grasses and shrubs and hedges, all vegetation, plant spirits, they're sometimes known as, are honored, connected with as divine ones. Creatures have a divine dimension as well. Animal spirits, power animals, totem animals, they go by different names. The idea that in addition to individual creatures, there is a kind of oversoul, a guiding spirit for each type of creature, and not just limited to four-legged creatures, but to winged ones, to those that crawl, to reptiles and amphibians, and the whole host of different forms of creatures. The elements are divine ones across a whole range of Wicca traditions. In some paths, there are four elements, earth, air, fire, water. In other paths, including the Circle Craft path, which I practice, there are five elements, earth, air, fire, water, spirit. In addition to these concepts, there are correlations with dimensions in nature, earth being rocks and soil, air, the atmosphere, the winds, fire, energy, flames, light, electricity, water, fresh water, salt water, and in between, ponds and lakes and streams and rivers and oceans and seas, fountains and dew, the water within ourselves, the water that's in the atmosphere. There's many forms of the water element. The element spirit is seen as an interconnecting element, as something that brings all four elements together, that permeates all of creation. The concept of Great Spirit, which is seen as a divine force that's indwelling as well as around all, the element spirit. And with Wicca symbols, the encircled, interlaced, five-pointed star, the pinnacle, has each of the points representing each of the five elements, earth, air, fire, water, spirit, and the circle around, the wholeness that is eternal. The circle itself can be seen as a divine one. There's no beginning, there's no ending. And it is a powerful sacred symbol, and it also is the form used for rituals and meditations. It is a form that connects with sacred cycles, the cycles of seasons, the cycles of moon, the cycles of life. In addition to these forms of divine ones, many Wicca paths also have additional divine ones. The ancestors. Not only those that we relate to by family and by blood, but ancestors of culture, of place, those who have gone before, and ancestors of spiritual tradition. In some Wicca ceremonies, the ancestors are invoked along with specifics of other divine ones. For some who are Wicca practitioners, divine ones also include spiritual teachers. They may be spiritual teachers from another dimension. They may be teachers that were once in human form and that are now in divine realms. The beloved dead, which are invoked at Samhain time, is part of the observation of the Wicca New Year in many traditions, are considered divine ones for many. Then we have the divine ones that are known as virtues, as concepts. There are some Wicca practitioners that consider themselves free thinkers. They may not have anthropomorphized forms of divinity, no concepts of deities that are part of their path and experience of Wicca. Instead, it's working with concepts, with virtues. For those who are secular humanists, agnostics, atheists, other forms of freethinkers, that concept may be reason. And that is honored as a principle that is revered. Many, though, that work with virtues as divine ones are working with principles that are ancient, that have been part of other pagan pathways in the ancient times up to the present day. One of those virtues is freedom. Freedom in ancient Rome was known as libertas. And in addition to being a virtue, libertas during the Republic and the Empire also took on a deity form, typically in the form of the goddess of freedom. In fact, in America today, our Statue of Liberty is a depiction of libertas, that virtue. Some other virtues: justice, courage, peace, harmony, truth, wisdom. In addition to these forms of divine ones, there's also the idea of the divine that's indwelling, the inner self, the higher power, the still small voice within, the magical self. With so many forms of divine ones that may be part of a Wicca path, where to begin in one's own personal practice? In the next part of our time together tonight, I'd like to share some ideas about this. I think the best place to begin as one considers divinity and divine ones in one's own personal experience and practice is to take a personal inventory of what one already is aligned with, connected with. Certainly each of us has a part of ourselves that some might call spirit or self with capital S or soul. And recognizing that in our lifetime, there is a part of ourselves that goes beyond this incarnation, and to honor our own personal connection with the divine that's within us. It's also important to call to mind experiences and perspectives about the interconnectedness of all that is. In pantheism, the idea that the whole universe is divine, and for some, that divine that's around us is also reflected within us because we are part of that universe. So another point of looking at what the constructs of divinity are in one's own personal practice is to really experience oneself in relation to a much larger sacred source and force. What experiences have you had with the divine in your life thus far? Have you had a divine being come to you in a dream, in a meditation? Have you engaged in ceremonies, done chanting, gone on guided journeys to connect with one or more forms of the divine? And if so, what were those forms? Did they have particular names, attributes, or were they more universal in form? Another thing to consider as you examine your own connections with divine ones: how have you come to explore Wicca? Who and what forms have helped you with your education? Are you connected with a particular tradition, with a particular path, with a particular community? And if so, what divine ones are honored and central to those paths? As one considers one's own past experiences with the divine, one comes to understand the multifaceted and diverse ways that the divine can express themselves, itself, herself, himself. One way to further your understanding of divine ones that are part of your life thus far is to do a meditation, have a journal nearby, and make a note of remembrances, of experiences, of sacred forms. And then as one completes that meditative review, then to take a look at those forms and get a sense of what seems to be most strongly connected with you at this here and now. I see one way of mapping your own consciousness is through your relationship with divine ones. Divinities. Have you connected with specific divinities? Have you connected with a universal essence of the divine? And as you reflect on experiences, what seems to meet the need and inclination for you at this part of your life? Some paths focus on the divine ones as a sacred pair, goddess and god, lord and lady. Some forms of Wicca are multifaceted, including all possibilities, as I've detailed previously. Some paths are very singularly focused, that the practice is focused around a particular form of the divine. It might be a particular goddess from a particular pantheon, particular culture, or a god, or a particular kind of nature spirit. Some prefer a more all-one approach and really emphasize that interconnected force. And still other paths have more of an inclusive approach that makes allowances for divinities and nature spirits and spiritual guides and ancestors, spirits of place, plant spirits, creature spirits, and just a whole host of divine forms. Once you have an understanding of what connection or connections you have the strongest affinity to, my suggestion would be next is to connect with that form or forms of the divine and invite guidance as you seek to deepen your understanding and attunement, to keep a journal of your experiences as you embark on deepening connections with divine ones. Now I'd like to share with you some ways to incorporate attunement, honoring, work with, and thanksgiving with divine ones. As part of personal daily spiritual practice, have a way that you call to, connect with, honor, and thank divine ones. This can take the form of devotions at a home altar. It can take the form of an affirmation. I honor divine ones, call to you, honor you. I deepen my connection with you today and in times to come. It can be an affirmation. It can be an invocation. It can be a way of affirming that connection. Some like to keep a home altar, and on that altar to have one or more depictions of divine ones. For some people, this takes the form of working with candles. Some will have a candle in the shape of the goddess, a candle in the shape of the god, a candle that's color attuned to each of the five elements, green for earth, yellow for air, red for fire, blue for water, white for spirit. And as one does daily devotions, kindling each of the elemental candles, kindling the goddess and the god candles, and sometimes there's an additional candle that represents the great oneness or the unity of goddess and god. Or one's inner self. Some like to have some type of sacred art on a home altar or shrine depicting divine ones that might take the form of a sculpture, a painting, a sketch. It might be the writing of sacred names, an artistic depiction of divine ones. And by having that on a home shrine or altar and spending time with it each day, that helps strengthen the connection. It nurtures the relationship with the divine in the path that you practice. In addition to doing work with an altar, one can do daily invocations, daily prayers, calling on one or more forms of divine ones. One practice that I do myself and that I have taught others to do as a way of greeting the day and connecting with sacred forms is a sacred circle, sacred sphere, facing each of the cardinal points and calling on the associated divine one, and also connecting with that which is above, cosmos, that which is below, planet, that which is in the center, great spirit, that which is around our interconnection with all that is, and that which is within, that divine that we have within ourselves, as well as the divine that we see in all of nature around us. Some additional ways of connecting with divine ones include taking journeys to sacred places connected with the divine ones. This might be an ancient holy site. I do quite a bit of work with the goddess Bridget, and there are Bridget wells throughout Europe that date back to the ancient pagan times. And when Europe became Christianized, the Bridget Wells became Saint Bridget Wells, or sometimes known as Bride Wells. Going to one of those ancient places can strengthen one's connection with that form of the divine. But one can also create a kind of Bridget well for oneself by having a altar with a bowl of water that one has blessed in ceremony and has done Bridget work with. Even better, if you are at an ancient Bridget site and are able to collect some of the holy water from that place, to be able to mix that with some water that from your home area as part of your own personal way of connecting with Bridget. In addition to spiritual practices of working with altars and sacred images, there is the work with sacred names. And one way to do this is to chant the name of the Divine One repeatedly as a way of honoring that Divine One, of calling that Divine One to be in greater connection with you and to strengthen relationship and to learn. You can sing the name, you can speak the name, you can think the name. This is a way of strengthening that connection. When you do this kind of work, after repeatedly doing the chant, then make sure that you have built into your experience time for quiet reflection and reception. Pay attention to what you experience, not only as you are chanting, but what happens after you have gone silent. What rises up in your mind? What flashes of insight? What guidance do you receive? What do you experience physiologically, emotionally, mentally, energetically, spiritually, as you do this sacred name work? Another way of deepening connection with divine ones is through sacred imagery. Many forms of divine ones, especially ancient ones, have symbols connected with them, have colors, sometimes plants and creatures. Athena, goddess of wisdom from ancient Greece, the owl was one of her creatures. Sometimes she was depicted with a helmet, for she was not only a goddess of wisdom, but a goddess who is a fierce warrior goddess, a goddess of war. And she also is depicted with a shield. Some may have particular ceremonial tools. Thor's hammer, for those who are practicing Wicca with Scandinavian and Germanic roots. Some imagery may be related to sacred stories. As you deepen and strengthen your connection with divine ones, it is important to educate yourself on ways that the divine ones have appeared in the past. So this could be some of the traditional myths and legends, the lore, to know that certainly deities not only have ancient stories connected with them, but in as much as they continue to be honored and part of our life in the here and now, those stories can evolve and new stories can emerge. In addition to sacred imagery, you may find that guided journeys can be a powerful way of continuing learning and connection with divine ones. I've talked a bit about sacred places. Indeed, some of the divine ones that have been honored over time have places in the area of the world where their practices and honoring began, but have now branched out and are around the world. Many people who are Wicca practitioners will work with some form of cat spirit if they really are attuned to cats, and one of the ways of doing that is through the form of the ancient Egyptian cat goddess Bast. Bubastis was where her worship was centered in ancient Egyptian times, but since that time Bast has continued to be honored, connected with in a variety of ways. It's even part of pop culture in contemporary America and other parts of the world. And many people find it's helpful to have a cat goddess altar as part of a way of caring for feline companions in the household. I have a Bast altar at my home, and it includes a variety of images of Bast, both in her some of her traditional forms, reproductions of images that date back to ancient Egypt, but also some contemporary forms as well. And I do work there not only for cats in need, but as a way of attuning to that divine one. For Bast not only was a goddess of cats, but a goddess of pleasure, of joy, of music, of dance, goddess of sun and moon, and a goddess of healing. In addition to working with sacred names and images, sacred practices, going to sacred places and creating sacred places and working with sacred stories, one will find some keys to encounters with divine ones as one's own sensations during an encounter experience. This may take the form of getting a sense of a warmth or coolness, a tingling, a presence, and being very aware of what one's own process is as one's doing sacred work can help keep ourselves aware of our own connections with divine ones. Yes, they're always present, but we can be more connected at certain times than others. Before concluding, I'd like to say a few words about different cultural roots of divine ones. In contemporary paganism and the larger realm of nature religion today, many people are working with ancient divine forms from particular cultures, and many of these ancient forms, while rooted in a particular culture, have become international, multilingual, interreligious. have really become multicultural divinities. Bast is an example, began in Egypt, but you'll find Bast images in dozens of countries around the world now. You will find that Bridget started out as a Celtic goddess, now is being honored by people in many parts of the world with no Celtic underpinnings at all. She has made that transition into a multicultural goddess, as has Kuan Yin, whose roots go back to ancient Asia, but in addition to being honored by people in Buddhist traditions, she has now become part of altars and shrines of people in many parts of the world. Certainly, when one is working with divine ones, yes, we can have some choice in terms of who we spend time with, who we invoke, but divine ones choose us. And sometimes we may find a resonance with a sacred force as part of life's journey that then deepens and expands and becomes an alignment. As we continue to live in an interconnected global realm, we recognize that the divine ones are ancient and they're in the here and now. And they are also part of the future. It's important that we listen as well as speak in our relations with divine ones. It's important to give thanks, to acknowledge divine ones that we are in relationship with. As with other relations, relationships become stronger when we focus attention and appreciation, collaboration, listening, and learning experiences as part of our spiritual lives. So as you go about exploring Wicca and journeying on one or more Wicca paths, I invite you to spend time every day connecting with one or more divine ones and inviting them to aid you in connecting with the divine within yourself and be part of divine nurturing in the world in which we live. Divine ones, we've called to you tonight. Divine ones, we thank you tonight. Divine ones, continue to guide us, to bless us, to heal us, to strengthen us, to aid us in our own inner growth and in our service in the larger world of which we are a part. Divine ones, we call to you. Divine ones, we honor you. Divine ones, we thank you. So mote it be. Thank you all for connecting with Nature Folk tonight. This is Selena Fox, and next week we will continue Wicca Journey Explorations with a look at rituals. And before signing off, I invite everyone to learn more about Circle Sanctuary on the web, www.circlesanctuary.org, on Facebook, Circle Sanctuary Community. We have a group as well as a main page, and we're on Twitter and Instagram, and you can connect with me, Selena Fox Updates on Facebook, Selena_Fox on Twitter, and Selena Fox on Instagram, as well as you can find me on the web, selenafox.com. So thank you all for tuning in tonight. I invite you to share your comments and feedback via social media, or if you want to send an email, you can email me, selena@circlesanctuary.org. Many blessings.
Earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit.
thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.